call this meeting to order. And first order of business will be public comment. Anyone wishing to speak before this board on items that are not on the agenda, please come forward.
I have a question. Why doesn't this go on iQ2?
Because they have a mistake somewhere.
Oh.
Yeah, it usually does. For some reason, there was a glitch.
Okay.
We found it this morning, so they'll be working on it.
I tried yesterday.
Adjustments to technology.
And then I have another comment. There won't be any extraordinary tipping fee increase effective July 1. Waste Connections has not asked for any other adjustment other than the CPI increase, which we're not aware of yet. We won't know until the April to April adjustments are available by the Bureau. I'm having brain lapse, but the April to April CPI adjustments aren't out yet.
Very good. Any other comment? Seeing none, I'll close the public comment and move to item number 3A, the minutes.
So moved.
Second.
A motion and second to approve the minutes. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye, motion carried. And item B, the warrant register.
On that vote, if I could, I can approve as to form because I wouldn't have that meeting.
Very good. So noted. Warrant register. And Bert, did you have some questions in regards to?
No, I'm fine.
Entertain a motion on the warrant register.
So moved.
Second.
And who seconded?
Wayne did.
Wayne did. Very good. Thank you. Have a motion on the warrant register. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Again, Clay, you were present, so you want to do for form or?
On the warrant?
He can approve the warrant.
No, that's today's warrant.
Very good. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye, motion carried. And we go item four, regular landfill one, phase one design. I think you're up, young lady.
Thank you. So as many of you are aware, we are going through the process of the phase one office design. And at the last full board meeting on April 8th, the board provided direction to staff to make some adjustments to the phase one design and also to consider the cost of a prefabricated building. I tried to take into consideration all of the comments made during the meeting, and I summarized them in items 1 through 6 in your agenda packet. Most of those being the following: to detail the exterior elevations and include landscaping visuals, include an arched roof rather than a flat roof, pitched roof. Thank you. Amend the floor plan so that the bathrooms can be accessed after hours, without having the entire office open. Remove the cost of the storage building and the site work for it. Display the new well on the map rather than a line being drawn from the existing well, as well as attempt to limit the office to one parcel. All of the preferences were able to be included in the attached conceptual design. I have the actual office design up here on the screen. The estimated total cost, including a 20% contingency, and I do want to make sure that you're aware that it does include a 20% contingency, for a prefabricated building is estimated at $901,497. The cost of a permanent structure, including a similar 20% contingency, is $950,985. The office was situated in such a way to minimize cut and fill and to meet the office needs over the next 30 years. The offices proposed consist of 4 offices, a supply room, a document storage room, bathrooms, a mechanical room, a product reuse area, a meeting room, and an entry reception area. The office as proposed is 2,400 square feet. to get into some of the financials. JPA 2 currently has a fund balance as of May 1st of $501,864.15, of which $295,900 could be used to fund the office. A spreadsheet detailing the calculations for a prefabricated and permanent building are attached in page 19 of your agenda packet. And I'll try to walk you through some of those calculations that I ran for you. So the funds needed for a permanent building would be $655,084. And the funds needed for a prefabricated building would be $605,596. I ran the calculations based on a 2% annual interest rate for both a 15 and a 30-year term. And so you can see the total interest paid for a 15-year term would be $109,650 for a permanent building and $101,366 for a prefab building. The total principal and interest for a 15-year term for a permanent building would be just over $764,000. And for a prefabricated building, it would be almost $707,000. And I also detailed out the total interest and the total principal and interest for a 30-year term for the board as well. And then I calculated what the effect on the tipping fee would need to be able to pay off this loan at 47,050 tons per year. For a 15-year term, that would be $1.08 per ton for a permanent building, and for a prefabricated building, it would be $1 per ton. On a 30-year term, the effect on the tipping fee would be 62 cents per ton for a permanent building, and for a prefabricated building, the effect on the tipping fee would be 57 cents per ton. As I stated in my agenda write-up, I do feel that JPA 1 would more likely be interested in a 15-year term than a 30-year term for a couple of different reasons. First and foremost, it is likely that interest rates will return beyond 2% over the next 15 to 30 years, and so they would probably be more interested in a shorter-term loan than a longer-term, especially if rates are going to be considered at 2%. And then secondly, they will be closing the phase one landfill, and JPA 1 is responsible for closure. That being said, they do have funds set aside for the closure of phase one landfill, and it is fully funded. So what I'm asking for you today is to review and approve the phase one office conceptual design for a permanent or prefabricated building. My suggestion would be, since there's not a large cost difference between the two, that the permanent building, I think, is a wise decision. And then I request that the board authorize a proposal for phase two of the design work, and then direct staff to finalize an office funding agreement between JPA 1 and JPA 2. At a 2.0 annual interest rate on a 15-year term. I'd be happy to answer any questions by the board.
If we went with any one of these calculations, say $1 per ton, what does that equate out to as a, would be an increase per month per person as far as a charge goes?
On their garbage bill?
Yeah.
It would be extremely nominal.
That's what I thought. If you look at $1 per ton, people think, oh, that's going to be an increase, but I think the cost per person on their garbage bills, like you said, pretty minimal.
Yeah, I think, give me 1 second, I can give you a rough estimate of that, what that would be. Mm-hmm. It's less than 20 cents a month.
Thank you.
And on this design phase, that also includes, does that include the well, the driveways, all of the infrastructure, piping, phone lines? So we're financing all of that? There's not going to be something else? There may be a change order, but is there going to be anything else that you anticipated that may be involved?
Absolutely not.
In looking, oh, go ahead.
I just have one question, and it's on packet page 13. When you do your calculations for the cost of a permanent building, I see there's a 12 by 14 pump house, but I don't see that in the modular building calculation.
That appears to be correct.
Mm-hmm. So actually now your modular building option now just increased $11,550.
So the difference was only $39,000 if that were included.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because obviously that's something you need, right? Mm-hmm.
Christina, I noticed on some of the drawings there is a water tank on the property, and then we're going to put in a new fire system tank, fire pump. The tank that's on the property is not capable of fire suppression.
We don't, on this property itself, we don't currently have a fire tank or a fire suppression system. There is a fire suppression system, a water tank on the landfill property, whereby we could draw a line up to the new property, but it wasn't preferred. The actual cost difference is very minimal, and the fact that that water source is closer to the landfill wouldn't be as ideal, and the cost difference is less than $2,000.
So having this tank up there would also help protect the mm-hmm. residents
yeah.
if we had a fire that, mm-hmm. that headed their way.
Is that size tank required for this, or was it?
Yes. It's all per regulations.
Oh.
We're a 6-inch, with a 6-inch pipe.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I did notice there was an electric trenching and a communications trenching in there. It would seem that you could use the same trenching.
I can check on that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. No, this is just an estimate anyway, so. Mm-hmm.
Do we have any idea of the life expectancy these days of a prefab building? Compared to a permanent building type?
It is much less than a permanent building. If you talk to those that design prefabricated buildings, they claim that they will hold up as long as a permanent building. My experience has been that prefabricated buildings don't hold up as long as permanent structures do, but they will argue that they can hold up as long with maintenance.
I think we have an expert on that here. What do you think?
They don't.
Short answer.
Short and sweet. My experience is not only do they not last, the maintenance issues because of the difference in the way they're built becomes an issue when you have maintenance done. I appreciate Director Williams' question of looking at a prefabricated building just to check the numbers, but the numbers just don't bear out. And so unless there are other comments, I would offer the phase one conceptual design for a permanent building as a motion.
I'll second.
A motion and a second on 1A1 for approval of conceptual design plans for a permanent building. Question?
One comment. On your elevations, on the photo of your elevations, the permanent building calls for lap siding. Could we make sure that that's like a hardy siding and not T111?
Yes.
Yeah, so, and I'll give you a little bit of background for that, because we're trying to make it look more consistent with the residential neighborhood. Originally, they had a stucco siding, and if the board would prefer a stucco siding, we can go forward with that. But they couldn't put the shutters on the sides of the windows because the windows are too large, and it would be an additional cost to put smaller windows. So we felt that the lap siding would make it look more residential in appearance.
I think you'd be fine with lap siding, but I prefer personally the hardy siding. It's more, it's fireproof and lasts a lot longer. And if you put stucco up there on the Red Hills, my experience with stucco on the Red Hills is you're going to have cracks everywhere.
Okay.
Well, not only that, you're going to have the bleeding of the Red Hill dirt and the stucco
and clay stain.
Mm-hmm. Well, that depends on what type of stucco also, because they have an acrylic that you can use that doesn't crack even close to what stucco does. You can wash it off real easy. And the reason I say that, I happen to have that on my house now.
Okay.
So anyway, so you're aware of those. Mm-hmm. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
No, no, I think. I was going to ask another question. But
oh.
No, I think. That's what I have to say now.
Yep, well, I'll reopen it, Rob. No question.
This phase one was for the design, including the cost projection. That was phase one. Mm-hmm. And the cost projection, and we talked about this before, excuse me, about the cost and where all these costs come from, mm-hmm. and how government agencies are forced into prevailing wage, dictated by some entity that gets paid $1 million a minute down in LA. I'm saying no. So that's where my vote comes from.
Very good.
It's on the prevailing wage?
Yes, on the cost that's imposed on local government agencies.
Okay, I totally agree with you. I just I had talked to county council not too long ago and asked them to investigate a process by which many entities here in the North State can get together and try to set our own prevailing wage for this area instead of using one out of the area. And I wholeheartedly agree with you.
I do as well. I did talk about it with our legal counsel, and they did not feel that we have the wherewithal to
individually. We need to group together with the cities and counties in North State and other schools and so on too, and try to get our. It's very difficult to do, but we need to try.
I would like it on the record that we don't agree.
Okay.
So, thank you.
Okay. So now, do you have all that in your notes there, young lady?
I do, thank you.
Okay. And moving on to 1B, the direction for phase two.
Point of clarification, if we go with 1B, then she's taking into consideration the trenching, the siding, all the things that we've already discussed during the meeting.
Yes.
That would be my estimation, yes. Mm-hmm.
With those notes and the noted prevailing wage issue also, I would move for 1B, phase two design, to move forward.
I'll second.
Move and seconded for 1B. Phase two design with those comments made, and maybe talk with county council on the prevailing wage issue, see what we can move forward on that. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
I think no still.
Chair votes aye, motion carried. And C, direct staff to finalize the building for the office funding agreement with JPA 1 and JPA 2. To consider a 2% annual interest rate on a 15-year term.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any additional comments?
You said 15 year?
Yes, that's what it said, yes. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye, motion carried. All righty, good luck on your endeavor.
Thank you.
And go to item two, proposal environmental services to amend the county general plan and rezone three agencies. You're up.
Oh, yeah, that's a typo, I apologize. So currently parcels, as you're very well aware, 02401033-34-35, as you're aware, are zoned residential. The agency would like to rezone the three parcels to public agency as part of its project to construct a new agency office on parcel-35. Public agency is fitting for parcels of land owned by a public agency such as this agency. There's no intent to use parcels -33 or 34 for anything other than buffer zone. Parcel -35 will be used for a new agency office and potentially future storage buildings. Storage buildings are not proposed to be constructed at this time. The scope of work and timeline for the project as proposed by TMC is provided in the table below on page 23 of your agenda packet. The general plan amendment and rezone process should be complete in approximately 39 weeks' time, which may seem like quite a bit of time, but it actually works perfect with construction, because it'll be complete just right before with a summer construction period. So we can expect to begin construction in summer of 2015. Agency staff will coordinate with PMC and the Tehama County Planning Department to minimize costs and create efficiencies. We were able to knock down about $2,600 in cost just by waiting for the phase one design process to be complete from this project. The original proposal was for $20,000 and PMC has reduced it to $17,430. And I would like to make sure that the board is aware that despite the rezone and the general plan amendment, per our legal counsel, the parcels will remain in the Westgate Road Association. This is to much relief to the Westgate Road Association, as it was a concern to them that they would lose their road association dues from us. I did attend the annual meeting of the Westgate Road Association on May 3rd to answer questions and address their concerns related to the new agency office, the general plan amendment and rezone. And I bulleted some of their major concerns. They were concerned about the potential for the properties to be used by AB 109 work crews. I reassured them that that was not going to be proposed, and by having a private contractor operate the landfill, we would not be using AB 109 work crews because we can't provide a public benefit to a private company. That did seem to relieve some of their concerns. They also expressed concern about the loss of road association dues, and I reassured them that road association dues would continue to be paid.
How much are those?
They're currently $865 a year, and they're actually dropping. They had an extra $300 assessment for the last 3 years, and that $300 assessment is dropping out this year, so it's just about $562. And then a few members expressed concern.
Excuse me. So the road association dues can be voted up or down by the association at any time?
I don't believe so, but I would have to check and get back to you.
Well, I would just like to know if there's a cap on it or not for the future.
Yeah. I'll look into it for you. The extra $300 per month was an assessment that was voted on. Actually, I do know the answer, Steve. It has to be approved by all members in the association, not just by the board.
Well, how many members are there in the road association?
I'm not quite confident on that. I would say that there's over 75. Would you like me to check on that and get back to you?
No, that's it. Our three parcels would be a minuscule number compared to that.
They do have a problem, and what I believe the concern is there, is that they do have a problem with quite a few members not paying their road association dues, so to lose another paying member of dues would be considerable to them.
And so we're a voting member then, is that?
How many votes did we get with three parcels?
One.
Seriously, you want the three more?
And then lastly, a few members expressed concern that the parcels will be used for landfilling purposes. And I assured the members that this is not the intent. The intent is for an agency office and potentially future storage buildings. I further explained that the agency would have to go through much regulatory review before that would ever be possible, so that they should have no concerns about that regard, and that seemed to relieve them as well. The members that were present appeared to be relieved and expressed their appreciation for my attendance, and I think it was wise for me to attend because many of those residents were the most vocal at past board meetings. So I recommend the board approve the proposal by PMC for a general plan amendment and rezone services.
Christine, I have a couple questions.
Sure.
When you talk about storage buildings, what kind of storage buildings and how big?
So typically the agency has used C-train storage buildings to store its premiums and supplies for its Sharps program, fluorescent lights for its fluorescent light recycling program. And the dimensions of those are 8 feet by 40 feet.
Well, one of the concerns by many of the residents out there in the road association that Sandy and I have entertained many conversations in the last few months is that they don't want any blight on the horizon. So is there any plan for either a vegetation buffer before we put storage and or a residential design so that it looks like the rest of the building, if it is within line of sight from the road association?
Rachel, can you change the photo?
She would get double those storage buildings as a jail for a while.
We can't have any more than that.
She's going to get a lot of phone calls.
That's permanent residence.
That's a question I'll ask her.
As you can see, trees or shrubs will be planted
right
on this slope and this slope. They're like blocking the majority of the building, the current office building. The storage buildings would likely be in this area right here. And because of the revised estimate, we would have to house a much smaller storage building right here on this parcel. Otherwise, we would have to do some more cut and fill. So it would be an entirely separate project where we could look into further plantings as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, can I ask one question there?
Sure.
Christina, that your travels out to their annual meeting, did you make them assurances or promises that there would be no AB 109 crews out there, period? The reason I ask the question is, you've got a large facility out there that may at some time in the future be in need of some cleanup or some landscaping. Mm-hmm. And my question is, why would we hire a landscaping firm when we have supervised work crews? Mm-hmm. I've listened to those folks out there complain about AB 109 work crews coming out there and working. Mm-hmm. And those work crews are supervised work crews. And if they're afraid of those folks, they shouldn't go anywhere in downtown Red Bluff, because when they're not on an AB 109 crew, they're everywhere in Red Bluff.
Mm-hmm.
So
I didn't say that they wouldn't be doing any landscaping work, but I did say that they wouldn't be doing any landfilling related work. I do feel that because of their concerns, I would want to bring that to their attention beforehand if we were ever going to go that route, because there are strong feelings in that regard, just out of respect to the association.
Okay. So let me ask another question. As a voting member of the Road Association, does that give us access and approval to pick up litter without approval by the rest of the members of that board?
No.
Okay.
Does give us approval. It gives us the right to use the roads. So we could pick litter on the roads. Agency could. Waste Connections is a different entity. And so they're the ones that need approval. And really, I go through and drive through those parcels every other day just to make sure that there's no issues there. And the only litter that I see is litter that's coming out of their own vehicles that they're throwing out the windows. It's not stuff that gets windblown. It's beer cans and soda cans and things of that nature that don't fly, you know, 500 yards in the air. They do have problems from time to time with plastic bags that go very high up and get in their trees. And that's when Waste Connections needs approval to be able to go onto their property and clean up the plastic bags or bag from their tree. But really, litter is very, very minimal on those roads from landfilling.
Well, I have a little bit of concern about not having a cap on the amount the association can go up, but I don't know if anybody else is concerned about that.
Well, I think that's something that needs to be dealt with on a future agenda. I mean, this agenda is item was about the rezone, so I will move the rezone.
I'll second it.
I have a motion and a second for the move forward with the rezone. Any additional comments?
Yeah. I'm not entirely thrilled with the rezoning of the two lots in the public agency, even though public agency owns them. They seem to feel pretty strongly they don't want a landfill there. Maybe we sell them for residential lots. I know that creates problems, but it's pretty hard to look at buying extra lots by the county and paying the money for them and not having a use for them and kind of being restricted as far as the use is for them.
But doesn't the current design actually use two lots right now?
I understood we were going to move that over to just use on one.
Yeah, so there'll be a little bit of cut and fill on the second parcel right here, but there won't be any structures or anything on that second parcel at all. And while I respectfully agree with you, Mr. Bundy, it is extremely hard and difficult to have neighbors that close to the landfill. And so selling those parcels for residential use and then to expect residential homes to be built on those, as soon as a home is built next to it, they don't want the landfill there anymore. And there's numerous upon numerous complaints. It's extremely challenging to operate a landfill with residents that close in proximity.
But again, if we own it, if we left them as residential, we just don't ever sell them.
That way
we still have the buffer.
That is a possibility.
Would that be something that this rezone proposal would be researching? As to whether or not to rezone them all, or just the one or two?
And how would that change the cost of the rezone?
I'm not sure if it would at all, quite honestly.
The original reason for looking at rezoning all three at once was that if we're going to do it later, why not do it all at once? Mm-hmm. I understand what Mr. Bundy's saying now. It's not going to change the cost of the Road Association, whether we rezone or not.
And honestly,
we've already purchased the property. Mm-hmm. So So we're not going to save money there. Is there any savings by not rezoning at this time all three at once?
No, and the point is too, you know, 15 years down the road, if we want to rezone it back to whatever or something else, we can do that. So, you know, that's certainly an option. I just don't want to, concerned about handcuffing ourselves for what we can do there. Actually, a public agency, if we wanted to go out there and put a storage building on one of those of some sort, we probably could.
Yep.
Okay, I'm fine.
Yeah, and your meeting out there, as probably all of us have heard from at least one or more of the citizens out there, and you know, of course, their concern was, you're a public agency, you do what you want anyway. I'm sure you've got plenty of that in the meeting.
You know, that wasn't really expressed at the meeting, surprisingly, but I have heard that from other people, that no matter what, we're just going to do whatever we want. And so I tried to express to them that, you know, we're trying to be amicable and good neighbors and work with you. We recognize that we're a landfill, and that's how I introduced it, is that, you know, nobody wants a landfill in their backyard, so I don't expect any of you to like me, but we're here and we're trying to be good neighbors, and we're going to continue to try to be good neighbors to you. And that seemed to resonate a bit with them in our conversations. So they didn't express those concerns, at least for the folks that were present.
And then back to the three parcels, because you presented it as three parcels, mm-hmm. they, by the end of the meeting, were okay with the three parcels. Mm-hmm. And I'm just trying to get a feel for taking two of those parcels off of that, maybe men's residential. Mm-hmm. It probably doesn't make any difference to them.
Probably doesn't.
Because we're there anyway. So,
well, yeah. Since they kind of ignore the point that the landfill's been there for 40 years, long before they ever decided to make homeowners associations out of it, it was there.
I still have a concern about their understanding about AB 109. If we in the future bring out AB 109 workers to maintain the landscaping or cut out dead stuff or whatever, I think they're going to feel deceived. So that does concern me, that they don't have a full understanding of that could happen in the future.
And if that were to happen, I would make sure that they were aware of that in advance. Right now and at that meeting, I wasn't perceiving that as an issue. I was trying to address their concerns of AB 109 work crews working
on an ongoing basis
on the site.
You know, the terminology you're using is not correct. If we had workers at the landfill, it would not be an AB 109 work crew. Mm-hmm. An AB 109 work crew is supervised just as the state inmate crews that are out of Ishii Camp is a work crew with a supervisor. So, I mean, we've got to get down to what is actually being talked about and use the current and proper description of them, because if we'd entered into that agreement with the AB 109 to work at the recycle center, it would be a total different animal than what we're talking about, a road crew.
Mm-hmm. The other part of that also, it doesn't have to be anybody associated with AB 109 due to the fact there are a lot of people through probation
exactly.
that have to do community service. That's they're right. not AB 109ers, but they're on probation, and that's part of their probation.
Right.
That's true.
Could be any community service. Well, I think that, I know Christina's had many phone calls and many meetings, and I know Sandy has, and I've had many letters and phone calls, and I don't know about the rest of you, but I really appreciate your ongoing efforts, and I think we continue. I think the comments made, I agree with all of them. I think you need to let them know that we may need to have people out there, and we will have them under our supervision and responsibility when that happens, but we cannot tell them that we are going to restrict anybody from the neighborhood if we need them to help us.
Okay. I'll draft the letter to the association.
And I want to echo Steve's comments. I do appreciate you going out to that meeting and talking with the people. I know you spend a lot of time on the phone as well, and it's very much appreciated.
Well, and I think that we need to continue that outreach to those meetings, and when they're coming up, since we're going to be a member of that association, that is the landfill in both your districts or just one?
It's in my district, but it's so close to the line that Steve gets a lot of calls as well.
Well, I think that when you're having those meetings, you need to notify the board members so that they can attend those meetings also if it's available on their calendar, not just do it blindly. So anyway, I have back to the item. We have a motion and a second for the proposed rezone. Any other comments? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion carried. And item three, pay in lieu of personal time off. Page 35, you're up there, Ms. Christina.
And so consistent with other department head employment agreements, section 12 of my employment agreement allows for a compensation of up to 60 hours of accumulated paid time off leave once per calendar year after 5 years of JPA service. And I'm pleased to announce that in June of this year, I'll actually have been an employee of the JPA for 8 years.
Wow.
So. Getting up there. Time flies when you're having fun.
You've had a blast.
I enjoy my job, so.
I'll move to approve.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded on three, pay in lieu of personal time off.
Under discussion, I'm going to use the same admonition I've used to other department heads that we have. Payment. We have time off for people to go get away and rest and recuperate and all that other good stuff there. It's for there for a good reason. I don't mind you using the payment and time for, you know, vacation time or something, but you should really take it.
I do take vacation time. I just barely get sick, so I don't use sick leave. I'm just one of those lucky and fortunate people. Maybe it's because I'm younger that I rarely get sick, and so the PTO includes vacation and sick leave, and since I don't use sick leave, it does accumulate.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion carried. And outreach update.
I'm going to turn it over to Rachel, who's been doing a tremendous job completing outreach.
Good morning. So, this, since our last board meeting, the agency staff has worked with AB 109 work crews, and they cleaned up 35 tires, 6 mattresses, and 3.56 tons of waste from the corner of Ashland and Monroe Street, which is very exciting. Agency staff have been conducting Tehama County Smart Business Alliance outreach to both businesses that already recycle and businesses that are not currently in compliance with the mandatory commercial recycling law. Currently, I'm working with 7 businesses interested in joining the SBA, which is about, I think currently we only have 8 total, so it's a huge increase for us.
Can I go back just a second? What's at the corner of Monroe and Ash? What was there?
It was a field by the railroad tracks that people, the homeless camp had been at.
That's right. It's 2 blocks.
Yeah, I know where it's at. I was just, couldn't recall what was actually there.
It was a little bit hard to see from the street, but.
Yeah.
Good job, Christine. Agency staff contributed waste reduction, recycling, and hazardous waste disposal information to the monthly Lake California POA newsletter, and I've attached a copy of that. It's on page 39. This coming month will be the first month that we will have contributed to the Rancho Tehama newsletter, And we've also produced and distributed the Tehama County 4Rs e-news blast, which is on pages 40 and 41. And the educators e-newsletter as well, and that's on page 42 of your agenda packet. The passenger tire collection event was held on April 26th at the Rancho Tehama Transfer Station, Los Molinos Transfer Station, and the Tehama County Red Bluff Landfill. A total of 5,273 tires were collected, which is a very successful event for us.
Rachel?
Yes.
I heard a lot of comments on, I was out at the Rancho Tehama tire event.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the comments that I heard from people in the area, as kind of Flournoy, and down in my neighborhood, was there was kind of a miscommunication that people thought that it was just for residents of Rancho Tehama.
It was, well, that site was supposed to be only for collection from that, from those residents.
Okay.
But the other sites were not, were for collection of other county residents.
So if somebody from Pass County or Flournoy brought tires out there, were they going to be turned away?
There wasn't a staff person at that location, so there wasn't anyone available to turn them away. But
there was two guys there that worked at the transfer station for RTR when I was out there, so I was curious. I mean, to me, if we're having these collection events, wherever we have them, if people in the neighborhood want to bring in tires, they need to be allowed to, or let know that here's where we're having a collection for tires. It's not just for whatever.
We'll make sure of that in the future.
That's a lot of tires.
It is a lot of tires. It was a busy day at RTR.
It was busy at the landfill.
It's a great campaign event.
It's a great service to the community.
I'll help you unload those.
The community residents that I dealt with seem to be very appreciative of the event, so it was nice working out there with them. The 2014 National Drug Take Back Collection event was also held on April 26th at the Tehama County Sheriff's Department, the Red Bluff Community Center, and the Corning Police Department. A total of 449 pounds of pharmaceutical drugs were collected. The Tehama County Sheriff's Department, Red Bluff Police Department, Corning Police Department, Tehama County Health Services Agency, and our agency partnered in this event. This agency submitted a press release promoting the event to the Red Bluff Daily News, which is attached on page 43, and the Corning Observer, as well as posted flyers in the greater Tehama County area. The agency sponsored the Red Bluff Roundup Golf Tournament, promoting the Tehama County Recycle Market Development Zone to local business people. Agency staff are currently working with Deep Sky Marketing in the development of marketing material promoting the Tehama County Recycle Market Development Zone. Additionally, the agency has contracted with Marine Heart to develop and conduct several questionnaires and surveys designed to determine how agency staff can better market the TCRMDZ to local manufacturers. The agency promoted oil recycling and the correct disposal of household hazardous waste, batteries, and CFLs at Good Morning Red Bluff and Frontier Villages Conservation Day through the donation of oil drain containers, battery bags, and informational flyers.
One quick thing,
yep.
If I could. Back to the drug take-back day, I don't see anywhere mention the DEA, because they're basically the ones that coordinate this throughout the nation, and it probably wouldn't hurt in the future, but it was part of the DEA.
And drug alcohol services.
I think we mentioned the Tehama County Health Services Agency, but we failed to admit this time the DEA, mm-hmm. which
yeah,
funds.
I'm pretty sure you have one.
Yeah, they fund the tape back. They pay for the disposal, and they do national outreach for the event.
Agency staff continue to work with the Sacramento River Discovery Center to build a composting display area. Agency staff submitted a press release describing the Tehama County Red Bluff Landfill's mattress recycling program in the Red Bluff Daily News, attached on page 44, and the Corning Observer, which is very exciting because it was also picked up by the Global Product Stewardship Council and the California Department of Resources Recycling and Recovery, which is CalRecycle, and they promoted on their Facebook pages. As part of the CalRecycle HD20 grant, we have continued to develop the 4R Kids exhibits for the field trip on wheels. Each exhibit includes text on the importance of the topic being addressed in real-world application and a take-home challenge to encourage waste-wise decision-making in day-to-day life for the children. Students that are waiting to board the bus will make a craft from our Rio's craft bin. At this junction, the current exhibits that are being developed are the battery pachinko, where students work to have alkaline rechargeable batteries returned to the correct recycling location, which would be an orange battery bag for alkaline and the stores for any store that sells rechargeables for rechargeable batteries. The game is CFL Life, a two-person board game designed to show players the correct decisions along a CFL's life can either provide good outcomes or bad outcomes. The Bag Monster, a suit children can wear that is composed of 500 single-use plastic bags, which is the average number a person consumes yearly in the U.S. Crawling Through the Landfill, an exhibit that allows children to crawl through the landfill, illustrating the truth behind our trash. The History of Trash, which is a hands-on exhibit, addresser actually, that shows students how trash has changed through the last 100 years. And Household Hazardous Waste Hide and Seek, a display teaching children where to find hazardous waste at home and how to properly dispose of it and handle it. We've also completed and have our truck signage for battery, fluorescent light, and proper household hazardous waste disposal on, and it's been installed on all of the majority of Waste Connections vehicles, and there's pictures of that attached on pages 45, 46, and 47. They look very nice. On April 5th, at Evergreen Middle School, agency staff held a temporary household hazardous waste collection event. Despite extensive outreach in promoting the event, it was not well attended. Agency staff coordinated large venue recycling for the Red Bank Road Camp Out on April 11th through April 13th and at Lucero Olive Oil Spring Bloom Festival on May 10th. Agency staff submitted a press release notating the new waste diversions programs being implemented at the Tehama County Red Bluff Landfill. This is attached on page 47 of your agenda packet, which was printed by the Corning Observer and the Red Bluff Daily News. Agency staff will be promoting composting, or actually they did this past weekend, and other waste diversion practices at the Sacramento River Discovery Center's Sacramento River Discovery Center's Watershed Celebration on May 17th from 8 to 1 p.m. Agency staff will be attending the Frontier Village in Red Bluff Tehama County Chamber of Commerce Farmers Markets promoting recycling, waste reduction, and the correct disposal of and potential alternatives for household hazardous waste. The Tehama County Sheriff's Department, Tehama County Health Services Agency, and Tehama County Sanitary Landfill Agency will be holding an additional pharmaceutical drug collection event in July in Los Molinos. As part of this event is being funded by the St. Elizabeth Community Hospital, from which the agency received a $1,600 to fund additional pharmaceutical drug collection events in 2014. The next household hazardous waste collection events will be held from 8 to noon on May 17th at Corning Disposal and May 31st at the Tehama County Red Bluff Landfill. Successful electronic waste collection events continue to be held the last Saturday of every month from 8 to noon, in addition to being accepted every day at the landfill, at the Corning Park and Ride and the Tehama County Social Services Department parking lot in Red Bluff. In April, we collected 5,840 pounds of electronic waste from the county.
And I have a question on the drug collection. Mm-hmm. Well, the reason is I've been cleaning out some cupboards and discovered I have very old supplemental vitamins and other kind of supplements. They accept that also. I can't imagine that would be a good thing to just flush away.
Yes. Right? Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the public's aware that collecting those as well is a good thing. If they're going to be bringing in their pharmaceuticals that are outdated, things like that, they can also bring in outdated vitamin supplements and all the different kinds of.
I can include that in our press release and advertising that we'll be doing for the event.
Yeah, I worked one of these events last year. We even had people bringing us old suntan lotion.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it's like, what?
No.
So, well, if they were going into their cupboards just thinking anything, so.
So would the suntan lotion go with the household waste? hazardous waste?
Depending on what's in the suntan lotion, it is actually household hazardous waste.
Okay. Especially some of the dyes.
Yeah.
Okay. Are there any questions?
Very good job.
Keep up the good work.
I would like to comment that we are continuing the electronic waste collection events, but I'm really trying to get the word out that the landfill is now accepting electronic waste from residents every day free of charge. So they don't have to wait for these free events to come up the last Saturday of every month. They can bring it to the landfill free of charge. If they have other items in their load, they will have to wait through twice, so that they don't get charged for the weight of that electronic waste, but it is accepted free of charge. The events are still a considerable convenience for the Corning residents that have to drive a considerable distance to get to the landfill, and they appreciate those incredibly.
And electronic waste would include any computers, televisions, radios,
yeah,
speakers?
TVs, computer monitors, printers, fax machines, almost anything with a cord. They will accept peripherals. They'll even accept cordless phones. Old rotary phones they'll even accept.
Some people don't even know what that is.
I won't be bringing mine. It works well.
You still use yours, right?
I still have a black one.
Any other comments?
Yeah, last meeting complained about the waste that blows off the collection trucks and so on. And I'm not sure, but it looks better. Yeah, I haven't noticed as much as I had before, and there doesn't seem to be as much falling off the trucks as they do their collection. So either somebody's doing a little better job or something. I appreciate that. I know they commented last time that people weren't using bagging trash before they put them in the garbage cans. I don't think anybody knows that that's a better way of doing it, and that might be a message if we try to get out a little bit. It kind of frustrates me because garbage can's a garbage can. And don't always bag stuff before I put it in there.
Well, the truck shouldn't be operating properly.
Yeah, it seems to be a little better. This was last go around, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, Amanda and I are meeting monthly, to talk about issues both on the landfill side and the hauling side, to make sure that we resolve any kind of problems. And so those meetings seem to be going well. And then I meet with Roberto, the site manager for the landfill, on a weekly basis, and we actually tour the landfill to make sure that we're on the same page about where things should be and where things need to be improved, and things seem to be going well.
Good. Any other comments for this board? If not, we'll stand adjourned.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Christine.
For my next meeting.
As soon as he's available, unless you want one.
Are you going upstairs?